Victor Espinoza has joined us on Sports Byline USA, of course, on the back of American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown in 2015. You had an interesting path to horse racing and in the United States. You began riding in your native Mexico. You went on to compete at racetracks in California, and you were born on a dairy farm in Hidalgo, Mexico, and it was a large family. Tell me a little bit about your family and growing up in Hidalgo.
Oh, yeah, big family. A lot of sisters, a lot of brothers. But, you know, we're all, you know, very close together, and, you know, and we're like basically not like a family, we're like a friend. We're all very close, like basically, like I say, like we're, I feel like they're my friends, not really my brothers or my sisters. You know, it was, by that time I thought it was tough, you know, growing up in the farm. A lot of work, you know, it starts at 6 o'clock in the morning and pretty much all day, 6 to 6. And I really don't like it. And I thought it was just, you know, tough. But now that I look back and think about it, my childhood, I thought was the best, you know, the best time. We had the best time ever. I feel like I grew up like an amazing kid that pretty much I have like a lot of experience, and I do a lot of things that a lot of young kids they wish they could have done. But I'm just very blessed the way I grew up.
Your older brother Jose was the influence on you. He was a senior by 3 years on you, and you rode horses on the farm. Tell me a little bit about his influence and what he passed on to you.
Well, actually, he was into quarter horses, and
right.
And I never liked quarter horses. I always wanted to ride a thoroughbred. Basically, when I started working for them, when I went to help him, I went to help him because he needed help because he had a lot of quarter horses. And he's like begging me to go over there. And I really don't want to go over there and work in the quarter horses. But finally, I kind of feel bad for him and I went and helped him. But he was riding quarter horses. I thought, quarter horses, it was just not my thing. I always to make fun of him. It's like, how can you be a jockey at quarter horse rider anyways? Yeah, and that's why I decided to be, and you know, the thoroughbred. I went to school in Mexico City for jockey school for a thoroughbred, and then I started riding, and then I kind of decide, like, you know, I was talking to him, it's like, you know, you should just don't even ride quarter horse anymore. You know, if you want to be a jockey, you should have just be going the thoroughbred. And if that, you know, if not, then you should have just quit. And just, you know, suddenly he called me one day and he said, yeah, I'm going to just start riding thoroughbred. And that's how I decided to ride a thoroughbred.
How did you pay for jockey school? What did you do to get the money to go to jockey school?
Well, really, the jockey school in there, it was free.
Okay, but you drove a bus, didn't you?
Yeah. I used to drive bus and then part time and into like before, like, because I was part time going to the track. I was not really like 100%, and when I took, that's why I was riding bus. But when I decided to go, you know, full time job in the track, then I quit from the bus. With Jackie's school and there is, we had to feed the horses and basically groom all the horses that they use for the school. But that's why we don't have to pay for school, but we had to work part, you know, basically on the side to pay for our you know, our food and buy clothes or whatever we need.
Victor, what's the difference between the caliber of horse in Mexico that you rode when you were young compared to what you found in California when you finally got to Northern California?
Well, that's the big difference. I mean, there's no compared Mexican bred or the California, you basically Kentucky horses over here. You know, I just give an example. It's like, you know, put a Chihuahua next to a pit bull. Big difference, huh?
When you came to Northern California in 1992, you didn't speak any English. It must have been a kind of a cultural shock to you. How did you ease yourself into coming to America and being proficient?
Yeah, you know what? It was funny because when I was in high school, they forced me to take a class, an English class. And I always ditched the English class because I thought, why would I want to learn English anyways? I'm not going to use it in here. Why would I? So I never really, like, take the English class. And when I moved to California, basically, I moved here in San Francisco. And I started writing. And I was like, man, I regret every moment. I should not, like, I should have taken that class. I could have known a lot of English, but I had no clue. The only nothing. I was not, like, so I started riding horses, but what happened is that every horse that I ride, I'm shooting to win, because I figured out if I win, the trainer is not going to ask. They're not going to ask me any questions, how the horse or whatever. You know, it's like they're not going to, you know, I'm not going to ask me anything. But if I lose, they're going to know what happens, and I don't know how to speak English, and I don't know how to explain it to them. So that's why my focus is to win. Because I was afraid to talk to them, because I don't know, I can't talk to them anyway. I did not speak English.
You were the leading apprentice rider at Bay Meadows and Golden Gate Fields racetrack, so you got off to a pretty good start. But I know you were described once as just a hardworking kid who was out there every day, but he kept getting better and better, and soon people started seeing the talent he had. Did that big break come in 2000 when you won the Breeders' Cup Distaff?
Yeah. I think all that started when I moved here and Bob Buffer started using me, you know, working horses and started riding me, you know, obviously not all these horses, but a part of them. And also Bobby Franco too, you know, I started riding for him and that was my really first great one that I went, one of those horses for Bobby Franco and also, it was my first Breeders' Cup that I ever rode. That was in the Gulfstream in Florida. Since then, I have been there. I was in '99, and then I started riding for the Prince, which was training, you know, Bob Buffer, and that was my biggest break because he really put me in all his best horses in there, and that's how I won the Breeders' Cup in Spain, and then we're Rumble in the Kentucky Derby.
You certainly were successful because between 2000 and 2006, you averaged 193 wins a year and twice finished third in total earnings among jockeys. But you really went into a slump. What happened with that?
Well, I think, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, after so many years with all this work and no break, you know, because I really don't have any, like, time off and just pushing myself all the way to the, you know, to the top. And it just get to the point that I probably feel like just don't want to do it anymore. And it kind of probably like, it's just like burn out for all these days that you don't have the time off and just all about work. Basically, I don't have a life, but it really, it's kind of hard to explain it because there's some things that you don't have, you know, I don't have that feeling. I don't have like that heart to go over there and just like passion to just, you know, to ride. And I really don't even like, you know, decide, I don't have that feeling to like win the race, you know, even to talk to people, I don't really like want to talk to them. I used to go and I used to work out and my normal routine, I used to ride hard, but you know, one of those things, like always think about it, like, you don't, I don't feel it in my heart that, like, okay, I want to just win this race, you know? No, it's like, okay, if I win, I win. If not, then whatever. And sometimes some people, they're trying to, like, when we ask the questions of how the horse run or whatever, you know, it's like, I don't even feel like explaining it to them. And I really don't want to even go to the track anymore. But it's one thing because I cannot control it. There, you know, when you don't have no desire, or you know, I don't have desire to just continue my career or even just do things because basically I forced myself to go there. You know, this basically was my job, and I never take off. I still go there, but I never take off one day. but it was just like. Even when I used to get to the track, you know, it's just like I used to hate it. I really hated to be in there. You know, I really don't like to be there. I don't want to be able to, you know, ride any horse, not even one horse in my life. You know, even in the morning when I used to work horses, I used to think I was there, but really deeper inside, I don't want to be there.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on Sports Byline. You certainly did have a wonderful 2015 with American Pharoah, and you deserve all the honors that you have won with that horse. Thanks a lot, Victor.
All right, thanks for having me.
Victor Espinoza, again, Triple Crown winning jockey on American Pharoah. We continue on Sports Byline.